Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and the excitement continues with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Bet just $1 on any football game this weekend and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Not in a betting state? No worries. DraftKings has daily fantasy that you can check out right now. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 and free bets instantly this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey everyone, welcome to the WNP Podcast. Welcome to the Bolts broadcast. Sorry about that. Got WNP on the mind, but Bolts broadcast, Mike Mitchelson here, Chase Crosha with me as well. And the only reason we're not restarting this is because Chase gave me a dirty look. What's up with that, Chase?
Well, your new soundboard is sweet and all, but when I got to sit here for an hour and a half waiting for the ad read to go through, I get a little impatient. But regardless of that, I got a smile on my face because I just opened up the draft lobby for Knicks League. Second overall. Let's go. It'd be nice to get CMC, but I will happily take Dalvin Cook in this scenario. I'm pretty sure it's full point. I'm definitely excited. Final fantasy draft of the year. Can't wait to get that rolling. So I'll be able to get Dalvin Cook at a nice little stack there in the second, third, but it's going to be a long wait.
What's up with everyone getting the second overall pick? Like, I mean, I don't have it personally, but I know you have a last draft tonight. Johnny had his final draft on Monday night, and he had the second overall pick.
Legendary.
So I don't know why you two are both getting the second overall pick. Not as good as the first overall pick like I had in your league where I got CMC, but
to bite your team's cheeks.
Team is really good, aside from the fact that I only have two running backs.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I was trying to work out a deal with you because I still want to get Robert Woods from you, but like, I'm not giving up any of my main running backs. It's just not happening. So it's nothing to be done.
It's so hard to go make a trade right now. I've talked to Ryan, who has four startable running backs, and he immediately just said, I'm not making any move. I'm like, why? That's well, I need to see how everyone plays week one. I'm not making moves until the season starts. Like, that's just called bad management. And he's like, whatever, dude. So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, if someone flops and all of a sudden he's getting less value.
Yeah, I mean, I was offering, I think it was Darnell Mooney for, I don't even know who he's got on his team. But I know Darnell Mooney, everyone loves this year, including me. That's why I drafted him. And pumped for the team, aside for the fact that I drafted Travis Etienne in the seventh round, and now he's not playing because he got injured and got placed on IR, putting him out for the remainder and the whole NFL season. So
that's the hard thing with, like, especially in my league, the group of guys that we have, it's hard to get a day that we can all just draft together. And we like drafting together. It makes fantasy football draft so much more fun. If you've never done a fantasy football draft offline in person, you need to try it because it's just a much better experience. So it's hard with our league trying to coordinate it. So we pretty much last 3 years in a row, we've done it August 15th. It just happened to work out that day. And, you know, that's 3 weeks before the season starts, sometimes even 4 weeks. So a lot can happen. And, that, you know, it's happened this year. If I'm not mistaken, J.K. Dobbins, Travis Etienne. And I feel like someone else, too, got hurt
for the year. I know Cam Akers, but I think he was before.
I feel like there's someone else that had slightly someone of a significant type of injury. Regardless, can't think of it right now. But, like, yeah, those are just kind of wasted draft picks. So, you know, having the offseason free agent budget as well as a regular season free agent budget in my league is kind of the trade-off there.
And I was super excited to have my team. I think it's a great team. It has depth, but really only at the wide receiver position. I was super excited for it until you just told me that the past 3 years, we've had our draft on August 15th. The past two seasons before this one didn't work out for me.
Yeah, no, it did not. You struggled a little bit.
It hurts because the first, I think, 3 years in your league, I placed, I think, fourth. It was either fourth or third. And then I placed first. And then I placed second. So I had very good placings. In the first 3 years, maybe it was the first four that I had those placements, but I had great placements. Now haven't made the playoffs in I think 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's a bad bounce. But so you were talking about Braz's team, so I'm looking at it real quick. Man, just talking about the J.K. Dobbins injury in value, Gus Edwards in the 12th round is just that's just tremendous. Like, that's such horse garbage.
Where is four running backs?
Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Raheem Mostert, and Gus Edwards.
I think I offered Mooney for Raheem Mostert.
I'd probably keep Mostert there personally. Yeah. So that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not going to mediate trades here, but if like it'd have to either be a 2-for-1 or a 2-for-2 deal. I don't think a 1-for-1 is going to be happening with anyone in our league.
Right. I don't know. I decided not to get greedy and not to try go or not greedy, but get impatient because I think my team's got a really good chance to do some really good work. And if McCaffrey and Antonio Gibson stay healthy, and I just happen not to have them because of the bye week, that's fine. I'll drop two games because I think that I can win a lot of the other ones. So I'm not going to try to get too impatient here. Hopefully they can stay healthy. If not, that's when it's going to get real scary.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's, you know, it's going to be interesting fantasy year at the end of the day. You know, the injuries, the kind of like, you know, changing the guard with the quarterback, you know, we got five new rookie quarterbacks that could all be starting. This is like a year where regardless when you drafted a month early, drafted the day before, like there is a lot of unexpected where like everybody's drafts all of a sudden could go completely south. The NFL could, the whole landscape could be completely different than we expect it to be, but it's exciting. I'm looking super forward to it for that reason.
Absolutely. And Chase, what you said there reminded me of a conversation we had off air, and that was, you said there's five new faces coming in as quarterbacks. We talked in a Twitter group chat that this year we're more excited for the NFL than we are the NHL. Usually there's a lot of excitement around both, but this year it really sticks out that the NFL is more exciting right now to us than the NHL is. Let's talk about that. This is a hockey show. Let's compare the two. Why are we more excited for the NFL this year compared to the NHL?
I mean, it's just really those five faces are the main thing. It's kind of what I said. The NHL, we might not have a single kid from this draft class play in the NHL this year. It's very realistic. It's more likely that happens if somebody does play. And, you know, that is the nature of hockey where it's, you know, a low number play. But the last few years, more and more guys have slowly been getting in. I mean, we've been getting three or four or five, even six guys in the draft class. I wouldn't be surprised if even at any point, if nobody played any games this year, where it's the NFL, we legitimately have five guys that are going to be starting quarterbacks by the end of the year that are new. I mean, I guess there's a chance that somehow Andy Dalton resurrects his career, Jimmy Garoppolo ends up playing well enough where they don't lose their job. But really, at the end of the day, they drafted those guys high enough, they're going to play. So it's just these whole new scenarios. There's seven new head coaches as well. There's just so much change around the league. And the last 2 years have really been kind of the same thing. You know, Tom Brady going to the Bucs, it was probably the busiest free agency we've ever seen in the NFL. And then now one of the crazier draft seasons we've ever seen. There's just so much change. It makes it so exciting where the NHL, the expansion draft is happening. It's great, but we're not the most excited about this roster. It could be a fine team, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be an exciting team. So it's a little underwhelming there. And other than that, they don't really have much excitement going on.
So much change. And I also think that right now the Chiefs and Bucks need to be the favorites when it comes to the Super Bowl. I think just overall betting odds, I don't know what the betting odds are, but I would assume those are the top two teams.
I think so.
Understandable. But at the same time, it feels like any team could win on any day. It feels like the Bucks aren't locked in to repeat. It feels like the Chiefs aren't locked in to make it there. Whereas in the NHL, it's great that our Tampa Bay Lightning still feel like that top dog. But when you look at the rest of the league, there's not been too many moves where I'm like, oh man, this team is a true contender now. This team is right on up there roster talent with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't feel that. Where in the NFL, I feel that with multiple teams.
And just think about the teams that did make big moves in the NHL. Chicago, they've put themselves in a position where they are going to be a better team. You know, they got the recent Vezina winner, Marc-Andre Fleury. They traded for Seth Jones. Like, they've got these guys in. They got Tyler Johnson, too, from us, actually. So, like, they've made these moves, and the team's going to be better for sure, but, like, they're not necessarily, in my eyes, they're not necessarily, like, a true contender. They're just going to be a better team. It's a playoff team. And you look around, any other big move, Dougie Hamilton to New Jersey, that, like, doesn't do shit. What else am I missing here? Taylor Hall stayed put. Zach Werenski still in Columbus. Like, at the end of the day, there were so many big moves that could have happened, and they all just didn't. So all teams are kind of staying where they are, with a couple teams getting a little better, a couple teams getting a little worse, but like there's no just drastic change.
Yeah, all the teams that made the big moves weren't competitive last year. So yeah, we get more competition, but the top is still Tampa and only Tampa at this point. So
I'm going to throw Colorado in there too.
Yeah, they can be definitely thrown in there. I mean, I think if Gabe Landeskog went to a different team, like that could have been a storyline to follow and he could have upgraded, but he stayed put. Taylor Hall stayed put, like you said. Like, the free agent class seemed like it was going to be better than it was.
But this is why we need a Jack Eichel trade.
Agreed.
ASAP, and a Vladimir Tarasenko trade ASAP, because apparently I just saw something today that I kind of forgot about. There is still some talk on that front that apparently there is a team that is willing to take his salary cap, like tap hit, in order to get some sort of draft pick capital back. So they just got to find the third team to ultimately that's willing to take on. What is that? There'd be 3.75 at a 50% retain. So we might see a Tarasenko trade here as training camp opens up. I hope to God, because it's just been nothing the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any update on Kirill? I haven't been keeping up with his situation.
Nope.
So three top stars right there. Jack Eichel, Kirill Kaprizov. And Vladimir Tarasenko, all guys that, are we going to see him this year? Like, we hope so, but at this moment, we can't say guaranteed 100% yes.
Brady Kachuk doesn't sign either, and he's probably the favorite to be Ottawa's captain this upcoming year, and he's not in the building. He's not going to be in the building as of right now. He's not in Ottawa. He's, like, you got to get him signed. He's someone who, his point production-wise, might not necessarily say he's a $9, $10 million player, but at the end of the day, analytically, he is one of the better players in the league. He plays a type of game that it's hard to find, as well as providing the offense he does. So, like, you just got to pay him out at Ottawa at the end of the day. Pay him, make him your captain, make him your leader. Take that $9 million a year cap and just move on, because at the end of the day, when the contract's over, it'll look okay, I think. Like, they just got to get him in the door. So, like, you can't have a young guy like him sitting out. You can't have Kirill Kaprizov sitting out. You can't have Jack Eichel sitting out. Like, these guys are just too biggest stars in the NHL, and a couple, all of them are young upcoming guys too that could be faces of franchises that just as of right now aren't planning on playing.
I feel like the NHL has to put some pressure on these teams to do something.
Agreed.
Whether it be a trade, a sign, whatever you got to do, make sure we see them on the ice, because with less stars on the ice, the less reason for me to watch. Yeah. And I think we do got to talk about the Ottawa Senators. We forgot about that. Didn't put that in the outline, but Pierre Dorion, he got an extension. I'm not exactly sure why.
Dude, I don't know. In that press conference, did you see that? He said, we're no longer rebuilding now.
No.
He says they're out of the rebuilding stage. They're in like the whatever. I don't know how he worded it exactly, but they're in like the next stage and preparing to be a playoff team. No, they are very much fucking rebuilding still. They are not a competitive team by any means. They are still going to be in, towards the bottom of the league. He made a weird hire bringing freaking Pierre Maguire out of the studio for the last 20 years. I think he's doing analytic type shit. And I don't even remember what he's doing. Just weird moves. Not signing your superstar. I do not at all like the contract. I don't think he's a very good GM. I think probably, you know, there's 6 to 8 GMs in the NHL who just do not deserve their job by any means, and others who are up for discussion as well. He's someone that's in that 6 to 8.
I think the best thing that summarizes Pierre Dorion is when he was asked about his team, what was it, 2-3 years ago, he just paused, sat there for like 20 seconds, then just goes, we're a team.
I forgot about what? That. That was hilarious. That was so funny. I forgot about that.
It summarizes like him as a GM. There's a lot of moves that he makes that are a little suspect. Some draft picks that I think are a little suspect too. Not the Tim Stützle one, obviously, but
you can't mess that one up.
Right.
You can't.
It's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
There's 3 great players at the top and you have the 3rd overall pick. So no matter what, you're getting a great player.
Exactly.
But let's now talk about the Florida Panthers, a little brother. If we don't call them little brother anymore, you think that they would offer us a deal? Because, hell, we talked about how they gave Derek Kane an NIL. Well, now they offer 200 female athletes at FAU NILs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they'll be paying us, to be honest.
It'd be cool.
See, like,
Florida paying us to just talk about how Tampa trashes on them. How great.
I mean, that would be fantastic, but. That reminded me. So recently I was on the Hockey Hotbed Show. It's a new show in the Hockey Podcast Network hosted by Nick Berlansky of Tip of the Iceberg. And he was actually talking about that. Like, and we've made the joke a couple times. We tweeted out before, but he's the one said, you know, we've been hosting the show for 2 years and Tampa's 2 for 2. Why the hell haven't they brought us in yet? Like Nick asked us that too. I'm like, dude, I've talked about that before. That's a hell of a question.
It feels like, and we talked about it on the Stanley Cup winning show, that if there's any superstition out there whatsoever, and in hockey, there's a ton. If there's any whatsoever in that organization, it feels like they would at least do something, at least recognize, maybe not recognize, but like they don't need to offer us deals or anything, but say something.
I'll take a ring.
I'll take a ring too. Hell.
Yeah. I don't even need both. I'll just take one.
A ring and be there opening night.
Yeah, okay, I'm in for that 100%. And I don't want to gloss over this FAU thing that we just kind of got sidetracked on. So I just want to go back to this real quick. The Florida Panthers offered 200 female athletes at FAU, these NIL deals. I don't think they've... I thought they signed up, but reading into it, it sounds like not all have signed it yet. Pretty much what happens is they're going to get paid to just kind of make some appearances around the rink. They're going to get to go to some free games. They're going to get some money on the side too. They're doing a good job of recognizing that, you know, hockey down in Florida is not necessarily a huge thing. And where it is big, the Tampa Bay Lightning fans, is like that's where they exist. So they need to do a better job branching out to that age. If you can get the college kids down there, because there's a lot of schools down there. There's a lot of opportunities for people to spend their money all around Florida. It's a pretty nice state year round. If you can get them to come out to hockey rinks in the winter, and just because like, oh, you know, it's like we want, you know, maybe someone's from somewhere where there's just no hockey team at all, and they go down to Florida and they want to go experience the first game. All of a sudden, they're a hockey fan. Getting these female athletes in who have recognition with the school, they have friends that aren't athletes, they have other friends that are athletes across other sports too. It just gives you another way to just to introduce more people to the sport, more people to your team. So it's a great move. I think more teams need to be doing this.
And I think another thing, I don't think Florida looked at it like this whatsoever, but you bring in these female athletes. I'm guessing a good percentage of them are going to become mothers eventually. They're going to have kids, boys and girls, that they're going to be like, oh yeah, the Florida Panthers, they gave me this NIL. I thought hockey was really cool. Let's get my kids into hockey.
Yeah.
And that just grows the game. So I doubt they thought about that, like, too deep into that, but
yeah. And that's not the type of thing the NHL thinks about very well. They don't recognize, like, the NHL is horrible at marketing. They're probably the worst of all the major sports, including the MLS at marketing. They do a piss poor job. They still try to relate to an older crowd when you got to recognize, like, the whole sports industry escalator. Like, you need to get new people in on the first step of the escalator and keep moving them up. So I just kind of roughly explain, if you don't know what the sports escalator is, if you've never taken a sports class, like, the first step on the escalator is just kind of new fandom, new introduction to a team, to a sport, to whatever it is. And then, like, that can usually be a large number. And then as you go up the escalator, it's kind of like a triangle where it just kind of narrows down. You got to keep moving people up the escalator, but the escalator also is supposed to never end. So you can keep going up and reach a certain, maybe you can reach a certain level and you just kind of maintain there, but you always got to get new people, like, coming in and trying out that, essentially, that escalator. And hockey in general just does not do a good job of getting people to that first level. So in these markets, especially where it's not a very prominent sport, Florida's taking the right steps. They're trying to get people into that level at that age group, the younger age group, college age down to, you know, just pre-teenage. Like, that is really the market you want to hit, because that's when you're still kind of forming yourself as a person. If you can get entrenched into hockey and become a life fan, it just creates a family of lifelong fans, and you know, that tree just keeps on growing.
The NHL is getting in its own way. They've got a janitor at the bottom of the escalator while the stairs are completely free, not getting the fans on the escalator. The game's gonna die off with its current crop of fans if you don't get more in. So I like what Florida's doing here. Last little piece of hockey news. I know, a really short day on hockey news, but we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to preview their game against the Dallas Cowgirls after this. But last little piece of news, the Crosby surgery. Sidney Crosby, he's out for at least 6 weeks. He had wrist surgery. It feels a little late to me. If this was known and it wasn't like a recent thing, why did it take this long?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I would have to assume that if it wasn't a recent thing, it was something where doctors thought, okay, this can heal without surgery. So let's try it out. And there's a chance it doesn't. And Crosby's like, all right, I want to take that chance. That could be something that happened. If not, then it happened recently. Then, you know, like, what are you going to do? But he shouldn't be missing too much time at the end of the day. You know, he'll be missing training camp. He might miss the beginning of the regular season a little bit, but it's not going to be anything too major. But if for whatever reason he does miss, you know, a couple of weeks, Malkin's supposed to be out beginning of the year too. If they don't have Crosby or Malkin, that's not a good start for Pittsburgh.
It could be real tough for them. And Crosby's getting older. We all know this. And as you get older, those 6 week timelines become 8 week timelines, become 10 week timelines. I hope not, because we're already missing out on a lot of stars, like we talked about earlier on in the episode with Eichel, Tarasenko, Kaprizov. We can't be missing Crosby too. Up next, that'd be McDavid and McKinnon getting out, and we don't want to see that.
It wouldn't be worth watching other than Tampa Lightning, because they're a wagon.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we swing back around to football. We started with some fantasy talk, then went to hockey, and now swinging back to the football world. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is the Bolts broadcast. A lot of Tampa fans listening. I'm sure they're big fans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the reigning Lombardi champs. What is their opening game against the Dallas Cowgirls going to look like?
I love that the NFL picks the Super Bowl teams to play the first game of the year on Thursday night. I love that. I wish that it was like that in every sport, that the championship or the champion always play the first game no matter what. It's like, I know in hockey, you say, oh, it's a shortened off season, but like at the end of the day, you're saving 2 days of difference, so like whatever. And the NFL's longer off season, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Regardless, I love that the champion gets to start off and, you know, immediately contend to battle for their championship and try to keep that title. But the Cowboys are probably going to get waxed in this game.
Yeah.
So the defense is still young, kind of in shambles. There's guys that, you know, took steps earlier in their careers and kind of regressed. Leighton Vander Esch is a prime example. He was looking like an up-and-coming linebacker in the league, and all of a sudden he had a rough year last year. Two new guys come in, and Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox, that are going to start getting some playing time. It's going to be a young defense. The defensive back group is still pretty underwhelming overall. When Trayvon Diggs is going to be one of your better guys, it's not necessarily a great thing, because he's still really got to form into the NFL. And up front, I mean, the offensive line, Zach Martin's out. and what's his face retired. So like they're missing two main offensive linemen there. Like Dak could be running around, Zeke could be getting stuff. This could be a kind of tough look for the Cowboys.
There's only two ways I see this going down: an absolute blowout for the Bucs, or a very close Bucs win, and that would be in a shootout fashion. Dak would have to go huge with those wide receivers. I like Zeke Elliott and think he's a good running back and should always be started in fantasy. However, this week he's going up against the Bucs, who had the number one rushing defense in the league. They're also out without their best offensive lineman. I feel like it's going to be a really bad week for Zeke owners. I feel bad because I think overall he's a very good running back, and there's no way you don't start him. Maybe he can get into the end zone, but I feel like this could be one of those 8 to 12 point weeks where a lot of fantasy owners are disappointed.
Yeah, very well could be. And you know, when you look at the Bucs defense, Vita Vea, if I'm not mistaken, he's healthy now. He ended last year kind of dinged up. If I'm not mistaken, he's healthy to start this year. Every other defensive starter is returning too. Like, you're not going to be able to do anything. Like, you're just flat out. You're not going to be able to run the ball. Dak is really going to have to attack through the air as much as possible. He's going to be scrambling. He's going to get sacked three or four times. It's going to be just a big scramble for the Cowboys, and the Bucs should end up dominating this. Tom Brady, he could easily throw three, four touchdowns in the first half, and then the second half is just a run game.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great if they brought in Ben DiNucci. And then they just sat Brady the second half and let DiNucci let him up too.
Don't you mean Kyle Trask? Ben DiNucci did he get caught from Dallas? Oh, that's
yes,
right. Yeah, he did. From yeah. Dallas. And he signed with the Bucs?
No, I don't think he signed anywhere, but
oh, okay.
I'm saying you're if saying, they bring him in.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
It'd be so awesome if they brought him in and just little revenge game from Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. Okay. That's not happening, but I mean, that would be fantastic. That's fair.
I did a fantasy draft the other day. It was last night or today. I don't know. I think it was last night. I got my quarterbacks, Jacob Eason, Ben DiNucci, and Ryan Finley. So all elite quarterbacks.
What?
What?
A fantasy draft?
Or not a fantasy draft. Like a
Madden?
Madden fantasy draft. There we go.
Okay.
Elite quarterbacks.
Gross. Right?
Well, I got Colin Kaepernick because of how high his value is in trades.
Crazy.
Like, absurd. So I traded him for, I don't remember who it was exactly. I think I got like an 87 overall right guard and like an 81 overall edge or something.
Just crazy.
Yeah. He has crazy value, so might as well pick him up. He's always there in like the 30s, round 30, so scoop him up. If you don't want to use him, that's fine. Trade him. A lot of value there. But yeah, I think that starting CeeDee Lamb this week, amazing. That's what I'm going to be doing in my league. Any chances that Tom Brady starts off slow, kind of like he did last year?
I don't think so, no. I'm pretty sure he's going to be firing on all cylinders from the start and ride through the year. I traded for him in Johnny's Dynasty League for a reason, because I think he is going to finish as, at worst, a top eight quarterback in fantasy this year. I put money on him to lead the league in touchdowns just the other day, because like I really don't see many other options. You know, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are always fair bets too, but like Tom Brady's got three talented receivers, still a solid tight end in Gronk. The run game is, I think, going to be a little like more consistent this year. Not necessarily like anything great, but I think it's going to be a little more consistent. I think they're going to, I really truly firmly believe that they're not going to just keep alternating guys. Just like one mistake and you're done. I think they're going to let guys start to get in their rhythm. Just because like once they started letting that happen, like whether it's Fournette or Jones, once Fournette was just running in the playoffs last year, the team was just running so much smoother. So I think that what's his face, Bruce Arians, realizes that and is going to work with that. But like Brady easily could throw for 50 touchdowns this year in a 17 game season. I don't want to say easily because that's a high number, but like at the same time, like he's the one quarterback I could see doing it most likely.
I agree. And I think having him in a 6-point passing touchdown league would be amazing. However, we don't have any of those, and I'm still salty about it. Looking right at you, Mr. Commissioner. It was recommended by moi.
It didn't get the votes.
Because our league is full of cowards.
That's fair. I wish
your brother.
Yeah, true. I wish we would have done 6-point and then tight end premium.
Yes. Spruce it up. We're in two dynasty leagues, and they're so similar aside from the fact that my league has one extra wide receiver.
Yeah.
So let's get something crazy. We already have something a little bit crazy with your super flex in there, but hell, take it all the way. All the way.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, what's your plan for the second overall pick? You said Dalvin Cook. What is your outlook for the rest of the draft tonight?
So if I get that range, if I can get Joe Mixon with my second round pick, that is kind of the hope there, because he still kind of does go in that range, and ESPN ADP has him about right there. If not, I might just grab Darren Waller, so I'm safe at the tight end position. I've been doing that pretty much everywhere I can. And then in the third round, depends what running backs are left. If there's one that I still like in that range, then swell. Otherwise, just best receiver available, and then figure out the running position going forward.
Any eyes on quarterbacks? What round are you looking to actually go for a quarterback? And in that specific round, is there a quarterback you're eyeing?
Not really. So this league's down to 12 teams instead of 14 that it was last year. Just kind of my normal quarterback strategy is Ryan Tannehill goes as about the running or the quarterback 10 to 12 in drafts. And I think he is going to be top five in league in touchdowns this year. So that's easy value for me in these types of drafts in the 11th round. Like, that's such an easy pick that I have no problem doing that. If someone falls to a value and I can grab a running quarterback in the 7th, maybe I'll do that. But otherwise it's Tannehill at that range. If he goes earlier, then I'll wait till the last round or two.
The thing that I love about our leagues, and I think it happened in your league, I don't remember exactly. Well, it is super flex, I guess, in your league, but no one in our main friend group would let Ryan Tannehill drop to that 7 range. And you're lucky because you don't got to play any of those guys. Yeah. You won, 2 championships in a row? And then last year you lost in the championship. It wasn't for money, right?
And No, last year I didn't lose in the championship. Last year I went undefeated and lost in the first round of playoffs. That's right. I didn't get a bye because the amount of teams that made it.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Yeah, that's tough. But pissed. You've had your way with the league, this league in specific, so far. So we'll see if you can continue. I dropped out, wasn't willing to pay the, what was it, $20?
Yeah,
yeah. 20. Yeah, wasn't willing to do that, especially for a league that I legitimately never checked last year.
So I'm just looking at, Nick loves to do these drafts and not tell you what the rules are or the roster settings.
Good.
I'm just looking. So 17 player roster, still have defensive kicker, and then OP and ESPN offensive position. Does that mean it's super flex?
No, I think offensive position is running back, wide receiver, or tight end.
But there's a flex position as well. There's a flex and then there's OP.
Okay, well then maybe. I don't know. I always thought it had to be super flex or 2 QB for there to be QBs.
Okay, I have no idea, but regardless.
You'll have to figure that out. If it is, then Tannehill, Brady.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. That'd be a good stack. I'd have to grab them in the 4th, 5th round.
Yeah.
All right, I got a game plan.
Hey, if you can get a Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Darren Waller, I don't think Calvin Ridley would be there in the 4th. Maybe I don't know, DK Metcalf or Mike Evans or something in the 4th, and then grab the 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah,
that'd be fancy.
That could definitely work out.
I love that we're doing fantasy advice, even though this is going to come out on Thursday, and fantasy drafts won't be happening on Thursdays. At least I don't think, and I kind of hope not, because the first game of the season is Thursday night.
Yeah, if you're drafting that on the day the NFL season starts, that's not a good.
That's scary.
That's not a well-run league.
Recipe for disaster right there. All right, yep. Well, let's move on to hockey name of the day. Final little segment before we get out of here. Has this guy been in Chell? I feel like I recognize this name.
Let's see. He probably has at some point. He definitely has, but not in the Chell.
Okay. I mean? All right, well, we got Marcus is the first name.
Yeah.
If that's wrong, then I'm going to be absolutely shocked. I want to say Ken Compera, something like that.
Marcus.
Ken Compera. Look at me. Yes.
Yeah. So our boy Marcus, he is 41 years old, still going strong. He just signed a deal in the EIHL, which is the British league. He just played last year, between the top finish league and the second finish league. He's played most of his career in the top finish league, played for HIFK, Tapara, Jokerit, JYP, you know, all over in the Finnish league. He's going to play for the Dundee Stars this upcoming year. He's a 6'2", 214-pound defenseman. Really doesn't have much more to his game. Like, he was never much of a scorer. I mean, in European leagues, he's putting up 14 points, 137 penalty minutes. You know, like, that's usually, you know, a defensive defenseman who kind of hits hard. And if you hit hard over in Europe, you're getting penalties pretty often. So really, I mean, he's not that special of a player, but 41 years old, still going strong for him.
Definitely not the guy I was thinking of. I think the guy I was thinking of was like in his 20s. Hackenpah? In his 20s or maybe.
Yeah.
He definitely was not 41. I can tell you that.
Fair enough.
Or even like 36 or whatever it is. But that's going to do it for this episode. Chase, we'll have you hit him with an outro while you're texting there. And then we will get out of here.
It is super flex.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So good thing.
Huge smile across the screen. We didn't even talk about how we're in person. This is the first time we're using the soundboard together on the Bolts broadcast.
We are. Hi.
Because we used it. I used it separately, but you've had to record yours over Skype and stuff. But yeah, first time using the soundboard on the Bolts broadcast.
Yeah, so indeed it is. But, you know, like, I want to get out of here. Don't want to miss my draft too much. But so it's really real quick. One thing that's listening, if you want to support us on Patreon, you would really appreciate it. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that's at Bolts Broadcast. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at Hockey Podnet. That's at Hockey Podnet. While we're at it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. You can get all your news, all the information that you ever need between those three platforms right there. Go to hockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. If you want to check out our blogs too, we got some great blogs you can read. Wherever listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. And do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.